Hey, Rick Abasso with me today, folks. I'm Ed Fallon with you here, and we've been talking all kinds of matters relevant to legislation, the appropriate role of state to local government, the federal government to local government, and how this is affecting the MAGA base and how it might affect the upcoming election. You know, Rick, I think it's really impossible to say exactly how this is all going to play out, but I think we're seeing some signs.
Yeah,
I think
good
one
signs.
Of those. Well, good signs, but also some very disturbing signs. I mean, what happened in Fulton County, Georgia, last month, where Tulsi Gabbard mysteriously showed up with a bunch of FBI agents, I believe, to make off with 700 boxes of election material from the 2020 election. Again, Trump insisting that the election was stolen in Georgia, and he's going to try to find a way to prove that. I'm sure that's going to involve a lot of redaction.
Get over it, dude. I mean,
that on top of that, there are now 24 states that have been sued by the federal government because they because the Trump administration insists that they must turn over their election, their voter rolls, their complete voter rolls.
That's ridiculous.
It's not the role of the federal government.
No.
And the fact that they're being sued, I mean, to me it was very telltale that the Trump administration said to Minnesota, look, we'll pull back a lot of our agents, our law enforcement, ICE agents and whatnot, if you just give us your voter rolls.
I mean, so,
what's the connection?
And also, what is the end game here? What would they do with those voter rolls? Just purge some people from there because they were...
I think they certainly would. They would find lots of reasons to purge. If you got
because
a vow,
they would look up their backgrounds and see if they'd had a DUI or...
Or if you got a vowel at the end of your name, Ms. Basu, you know, they would automatically flag you as somebody they might want to remove, you know? I mean...
And then, of course, there are other provisions like this one about name changes, right? If you
sure.
are a woman, typically, who has gotten married and changed her name, then you won't be able... If you show up with ID that shows your new name, then you're stricken, right?
Yeah, the Safeguard America Voter Eligibility Act. They've always got great names. Yeah, but again, the goal clearly is to disenfranchise a lot of voters. Because if you've got to produce a birth certificate or a passport, I know where one of those two things is.
Yeah.
I don't know where one. The other one, I'm not sure.
Right.
But not everybody can do that.
Exactly. And actually, that relates to another bill that that was going to become a bar on what county government can do in Iowa. I don't know whether it passed the first funnel or not, but it was that communities, counties cannot issue county IDs.
Right? Yeah.
To people?
I think that's still a live round, I believe.
Is it still alive? Okay.
Yeah.
And so what that would do is in conditions where people don't have a driver's license, like say you're a senior citizen, you don't have a driver's license, or you're someone who's homeless and you don't have a street address to get one with. I mean, a lot of people who are legitimate citizens could be affected by this ID problem.
Yeah. And the University of Maryland did a study about the potential impact of that legislation or that that bill.
Yeah.
And found that 21 million eligible voters, people who are currently eligible, could be dislodged from the voting rolls. Yeah. And I haven't studied their method of how they came up with that. But the University of Maryland is a credible source of information, and that's a lot of people
to
suddenly be disenfranchised.
It's where my daughter-in-law teaches, so
yes, it is. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Teaches law there.
All right. Good. Yeah. And you know, just to give you an idea of what you know, this is not about illegal people voting. This is case in point. What 8.2 million people voted in Georgia in the last election? You want to guess what percentage of them were illegal voters?
2%?
Close. 0.0002. In other words, not close at all.
You had the two right.
So
oh my God.
20 voters out of 8.2 million were ineligible, should not have voted. 20
Good.
Out of 8.2 million. This is not a problem.
Good.
This is a rounding error.
It is not a problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem at all. It's outrageous.
So, I mean, it's... You know, some other examples of people who might be, you mentioned married women.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I know people who, the man changed their name. to the woman. So it could affect the man that way as well.
Good to know.
But, you know, what about people who have lost their documents in a flood or a fire or... Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and they haven't had the time or even the capacity to go through the process of getting those replaced.
And quite frankly, I think we have a much bigger problem in this country of people, not Americans, not voting, not showing up to vote, right? Than people racing to the polls who don't have legitimate right to do so. Well, it's just not an issue.
So I'm curious about your thoughts on the conversation about gerrymandering, which, again, remember how that got started, folks. Donald Trump basically ordered Governor Abbott in Texas. He says, I want you to go out and find more Republican districts.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, lo and behold, he did. Usually redistricting, the census is done every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This was 5 years, and then they gerrymandered five new districts.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, now we've seen that happening in California.
Right, on the other side.
A lot of other places.
So,
and
Gavin Newsom to the rescue.
To the rescue, sort of. Yeah, which is really unfortunate because they have districts that are so lopsided that they really are only going to go one way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fair representation of the electorate.
It's absolutely not a fair representation. It's just trying to build up the Republican Party base and... It's not doing it legitimately.
Or the Democratic Party base.
Depends on who's in office. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Democrats could do it just as easily when they're in office.
So we have 435 congressional districts in the U.S. Do you want to guess how many are considered toss-ups?
Out of 435, how many are toss-ups? Oh my gosh.
I'm walking on some numbers here, Rekha. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's okay because I was so hopelessly off in the last
equation. You had the two right.
I had the number two right. Okay. Toss-ups. Let's just say 220.
18
are toss-ups.
18 are toss-ups. That's how bad gerrymandering has happened. I mean, not just in Texas. I mean, Democratic states as well. Maryland is pretty nastily. Is that a word? You're a journalist. Nastily gerrymandered.
It can squeak by.
All right. You know, I don't like to brag about Iowa too often because there's not a lot to brag about here recently.
No, not lately.
One thing we have going for us is a very fair districting system. And if you look at the state, it's kind of divided into four blocks.
Mm-hmm.
There are no crazy amoeba-shaped things.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, we used to have three Democratic districts.
Yeah.
Now we have four Republican districts.
It's ridiculous.
But there are three districts that could easily go Democrat this time.
Which ones?
Well, the two that are, of the 18 districts that are identified nationwide by the Cook Political Report, two of those 18 districts are in Iowa.
Are in Iowa.
So. Iowa 1 and 3. That's the southwest and southeast corner. But the northeast corner is also pretty marginal.
But nothing in the northwest.
No, the northwest, that is going to be solid Republican until the cows come home. And the cows are coming home.
Yeah.
I promise you, they'll be home.
Yeah.
I'm speaking as a farmer here. No. Yeah. I think there's a few other places in the country where you've got these districts that are fair. Mm-hmm. They're not gerrymandered, and they're going to be interesting. But, at least I say two. You know, half or maybe 75% of the districts in Iowa are up for grabs.
That would be incredible.
And if you had fair districting across the country, you could see that in a lot more cases. And again, it's not just benefiting Democrats. Because three of those districts used to be Democrat and now they're Republican. But the fact that they're competitive means they could go back the other way.
Well, that's going to be very interesting. I'm also very interested to see what's going to happen with the U.S. Supreme Court, frankly, on some of these issues.
Yeah.
When something gets to the court, is it going to react now more boldly after it seemed the way it was dissed on this whole thing about tariffs? I mean, he just called them out practically by name, saying they were shameful. And these are people that Trump appointed.
Didn't he say they were a disgrace to their families, too?
Their grandchildren, their whoever. But I think this might embolden them enough to do it again, to rule against him again.
There's a really good column by Elliot Morris about the perception that the public has of the Supreme Court, even though the Supreme Court is pretty lopsided right now.
Yes.
Compared to Congress, compared to the administration, compared to the executive branch, the Supreme Court is generally regarded a little more favorably.
Mm.
Well, a lot more favorably than Congress. But, so here is Trump taken after the Supreme Court. who ruled against his position on tariffs, mm-hmm. which most people don't like either.
Right.
So
right.
Morris argues that, you know, that Trump had an out here. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court negated his tariff policy. He could have said, oh, well. But no, instead, he blasts the Supreme Court, like you noted. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He puts more tariffs in place.
10%, 15%.
To heck with the Supreme Court. We're going to do these tariffs anyhow.
Exactly. And there's some little nuance in how he can get away with this. It has to be investigated, so he can only do it like conditionally until it passes muster with, you know, whatever.
Right. You know, and then there'll be another lawsuit, right. And it'll go against him again. I mean,
and it'll go back to the Supreme Court.
But the public is getting tired of this.
I think so. I think if nothing else, the public is just exhausted by every day more stuff being thrown out that really rocks your world. I mean, big,
yes.
big stuff. And it's just too much. You know, give me a boring, bland president any day over this one.
Well, is that a reference to Joe Biden?
We won't name any names. I was thinking Jimmy Carter.
But okay. I like Jimmy Carter.
I know, yeah. I liked him too.
Anyway, you know, so... Here's another question. I mean, I'm very frequently vocally critical of the Democratic Party as well. Mm-hmm. And I think right now the Democratic Party is clearly on the ascent, and Trump's base in the Republican Party, the mega universe, is just starting to have buyer's remorse in a big way. Mm-hmm. But is there an opening here for other parties? I mean, the Forward Party, founded by Andrew Yang and Christine Todd Whitman. I don't know if you're familiar with the Forward Party.
Not very much.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get their emails. They do back candidates. They've had some success.
They're more on the libertarian side, is that right?
There is a libertarian element, but mm-hmm. I would say they're more of the fiscal conservative and socially liberal side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, they're a little harder to peg, But the whole notion behind their motto, forward, is like not left, not right, but forward.
Mm.
You know, it's cute.
Yeah. I guess, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Libertarian Party's been around for a long time, and they continue to do very little in terms of having any kind of a big impact. Even less so is the Green Party.
Right, and I think unless we get significant campaign finance reform, you know, it's going to be very difficult for a third party to raise the kind of money that is required in a major national competition. It's really, really hard. And the Supreme Court made it worse.
Yeah, with Citizens United.
With Citizens United.
And
exactly.
I would say even more critical than that is establishing incident, what used to be called incident runoff voting, now it's called ranked choice voting, which is being used in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you get to say, okay, I'm going to go with a candidate that I don't think has a chance, but they're my best choice. I'm going to go with them, and then I'm going to go with this other candidate, and maybe a third candidate.
And do you think that gives independent or new smaller parties more of a choice?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think those kind of reforms, what you mentioned, campaign finance, ranked choice voting, would have to be accompanied by some other modifications that would really eventually, I think hopefully, lead to a more parliamentary system of government.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this may be a good time to have that conversation, given the dissatisfaction that most people have with the Democratic Party.
That's true.
And the increasing, you know, shock that people have with what the Republican Party under Trump is doing.
It's definitely a good conversation to have, but I think the timing is very risky, actually. If for those Democrats who want to see Trump out of office and Republicans out of office, if you throw in a third party into the mix, it could really skew the race to three different directions. And that's, you know, that is a scary prospect. I think the main goal has to be, for me anyway, from my perspective, to get Trump and his MAGA base to not hold office and not control. Because you can't be a Republican politician anymore and be serving in Congress or in a governor's office and not support Trump, and at least say you support Trump.
Well, it looks like all the candidates that he endorses in primaries win.
Mm-hmm.
And even once he endorses a candidate, the others drop out.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
That's
so
way
does
more.
That tell you? Yeah.
Well, no one politician should have that level of dominance.
Absolutely
in a party.
Absolutely not. But people are terrified of him. It's dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's bad. I hate to end on a bad note. Maybe we could say something hopeful.
Go for it.
The Supreme Court ruling. The Supreme Court ruling was a triumph. And also, I see so many different, as I mentioned before, so many groups organizing to challenge what is going on in various different ways, holding rallies and forums. And there's that big, big one coming, No Kings, coming up March 6th, I think.
Yeah. So, another No Kings rally.
Another No Kings rally, exactly.
Because the king is still here.
Yep, the king is indeed here. Well, there's another monarch who's losing some of his power, but that's in the UK.
That's in England, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, thanks to it.
But it's interesting how England takes this Epstein stuff so much more seriously than we do in the US,
There are a bunch of heads rolling over there.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. And there are some heads rolling here, but not President Trump, who presumably presumably is in those Epstein files quite a lot.
Yes, that's what we have been told, and I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah. Well, I think as somebody who believes in a constitutional republic where balance and checks and balances are important, I like the fact that the courts are showing some backbone, some independence.
Yes.
I like that. To some extent, there are corporations and universities and people who are speaking out and trying to hold their elected officials accountable.
Absolutely.
Those are all encouraging signs to me. So where this goes, I don't know. But I do think that the Trump administration is going to pull no punches in terms of trying to make sure the elections go its way.
Yeah, and I also think to bring this back locally, the way we started and talk about Iowa, is that some of the proposed legislation now that has made it through the funnel is going to prevent the governor from having so much authority over who gets appointed to particular positions, whether it's the Board of Regents or the State Education Board or whatever.
Yeah.
Because there is a fear. I think there is a fear in Iowa among Republicans that a Democrat is going to win the governor's race.
Yeah, right. Yep, could happen. Who knows? Rekha, thank you so much for joining us, folks. Rekha Basu has been my guest.